The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here at First Take, we are celebrating Black excellence. First Take is bringing on an HBCU tour. Each Wednesday in February, we'll check in with a different school. And this Wednesday, we'll catch up with Howard University in Washington, D.C. Tune in all month right here on First Take as we recognize Black History Month. All right, so after Brady's Super Bowl win, we found ourselves discussing the inevitable GOAT conversation across sports. We all love to debate it. LeBron had a chance to weigh in. Here's what he had to say about Tom Brady's longevity. Can't wait for this.
One of the GOATs. I've been watching him my whole life. For him to win another one yesterday in the fashion that he won, it was pretty cool. It's very inspiring for a guy like myself. But two different sports, two different positions. You know, I don't know how long I'm gonna play the game. You know, I don't know how much more I'll be able to give to the game. But you know, the way I feel right now, we'll see what happens. But I have no timetable on it. You know, I have no you know, no year of, you know, the game will let me know when it's time, and you know, and we'll figure it out then.
Well, it certainly isn't the time because he's still playing at an MVP level. Big Perk is in the building on your screens. How we doing, Kendrick Perkins? Always good to see you, sir. I will get to you in just a moment.
Good
to see you.
Good morning to you, Molly. Max.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Max, you know what it is. Oh, my goodness. All right, guys.
Scowling.
So Tom Brady's already eclipsed 20 years. He's focused. He's ready to take you on and take you down. That's a matter of fact. Tom Brady's already played 20 years in the NFL. LeBron's approaching it. I think he's at year 18. Max, what would LeBron have to do? We're always talking about LeBron and MJ. What does LeBron have to do to catch Tom Brady?
Yeah, before you can catch MJ, who's number one in any sport all time, catch Tom Brady. Right. Has he caught Tom Brady already or no? Because Tom Brady doesn't have a Michael Jordan in football that he had to pass by. I thought Tom Brady passed Joe Montana years ago. Like when he got to five, he passed Joe Montana. Even when they were tied, I thought maybe Brady's got him. And so there's no, and Montana was the greatest ever in my opinion, but not Michael Jordan. So it's a harder thing to be considered the GOAT in basketball than it is in football, simply because there was never a Michael Jordan of football. The sport doesn't lend itself to one guy dominating that way, which is why what Brady's doing is so remarkable. I think LeBron has to have a flurry of winning, like a concentrated era of winning at the very end of his career, because that's really why Brady put so much distance between himself and the rest of football. When I thought he passed Montana, I thought that was as the greatest quarterback ever. But at this point, he's clearly the greatest player ever. And that's because since I made the Cliff prediction, that was 5 years, he's been to four Super Bowls and won three. He'd never done that in his entire career until that point. Never. He played 15 years until that point. He went to six Super Bowls and won four. And then in the next 5 years, he went to four and won three. That's what makes him in a class by himself. Now, LeBron is in a position where he might do that. LeBron is on a team that's a powerhouse, in a market that's attractive to free agents, with a very competently run organization, with another superstar who may be just in his prime now, at his very absolute best now, in Anthony Davis. Yes, LeBron could do it. He got to L.A., he won one. If he stays in L.A. for 3 or 4 years and does what Brady just did, which he might, then all of a sudden, LeBron is sitting on 7 or 8 chips. And he did it because of this incredible flurry of championships toward the very end of his career. And Perk, let me just say this. Football, many, many quarterbacks are great still in their late 30s. The reason I predicted the cliff, meaning not a decline, but a sudden fall off, is because Favre and Peyton Manning and others were like, oh my God, at 37, 38, they've never been better. And then all of a sudden they weren't good anymore. But in the NBA, that never happens. Because of the miles you run in the NBA, you don't see 37 and 38-year-old MVPs like you do frequently in the NFL. And so LeBron is much closer to being Brady already in terms of his age and what he's doing than people realize. For him to still be the best player in the game at his age is completely, and given the miles he's run in the NBA already, the minutes he's played, is completely unprecedented. But he's going to have to win some more chips to catch Brady.
Well, first of all, let me start off by saying this. I don't want to disrespect the GOAT of football and Tom Brady, because I believe he's the greatest football player ever. And what he did in this Super Bowl this past weekend, or this past season, going through, you know, Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, just cemented that. But when you talk about comparing him and LeBron James, first of all, basketball and football is apples and oranges to me. Second of all, they have the code. They have the exact same code to the exact same penthouse. They both could get into the same penthouse using the same code. They are sitting at the same dinner table. And when you talk about LeBron James, a guy that had pressure, a guy that has so much on his shoulders since the age of 16, since the age of 18, when he was drafted in 2003, the expectations, the bar that was set. No knock on Tom Brady, but Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. It wasn't no expectations on Tom Brady. He wasn't set up to fail. LeBron James has exceeded expectations. You talk about pressure. And then, Max, when we talk about football and basketball, and I know Big Marcus Spears and Big Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark and all the football minds may feel some type of way about this, but it's no discredit. Look, it's no discredit to winning a championship in football, because it's hard to win a championship in any sport, okay? I'm going to make that clear. But when you talk about football, they have to win a max of four games, sometimes three when they get a first round bye. In basketball, you got to win 16 games. Four games in basketball just get you through the first round. So right there is a separation. And when you talk about another thing, as far as LeBron James, when he gets there, him and Brady both then got there 10 times apiece. Yes, Brady then won seven. LeBron James has won five. So they both, it's not like they both 100%. But when they get there and they both win it, guess what? LeBron James finishes food on his plate, Max. And when I say that, meaning not only when he win it, does he win it, he wins the final MVP every single time that he's won a championship. Tom Brady has left food on his plate because he's won seven, but he's only won five of the MVPs, okay?
This is the thing about Brady, though, that's remarkable. I take what you say the other way. And by the way, the football guys say it's harder in football, basketball guys say it's harder in basketball, but I take it the other way. In a one-and-done tournament, you know, the fact that Brady's got seven rings in one-and-done tournaments in a league that promotes parity unlike any other, because there's a hard cap. The fact that, he did it with Belichick the whole time, but then he switches teams and they do it right away. And you talked about the gauntlet of quarterbacks he had to run through. To me, that's more impressive. It means with the chips are always on the line. And you always have to come out on top. So Brady has that winner thing about him, the aura, in a different way than LeBron. LeBron had to learn that. LeBron, I don't count 07 with Cleveland. It's amazing he got them there. But in Miami, he had to learn how to do it. Brady had that winner thing where his team always seemed to win from the moment he hit the league. And that's what LeBron's really up against. 5 out of 10 versus 7 out of 10.
Max, how can you say something so crazy when you look at the effect that LeBron James have on the franchise? Before Cleveland got him, they were in the lottery every single year. And then when Cleveland drafted LeBron James, a year or two later, they instantly became a contender. LeBron James leave Cleveland. They go right back into the lottery again. He goes to Miami and helped them win two championships. He leaves Miami. Miami never sniffed the Eastern Conference Finals again until just last year when Jimmy Butler in the bubble took over, okay? And then he leaves Cleveland again and goes to L.A., Cleveland, back to rock bottom again. Where he goes to more pressure, L.A., with no Magic, doubt. Kareem, all the all-time greats. I'm going there not to go and ride off into the sunset and do Space Jam 2. No, I'm going there to hang a banner. I'm going to more pressure. It's enough that I didn't have pressure on me my entire life. I'm going to add more pressure and go to the Lakers where they got banners galore all over the arena.
That.
I'm going to go there and hang one. Well, what you arguing? You just said that the man, that Brady, it was a separation between winning.
What I'm saying
and
is,
I'm telling you it's not. It's not a separation.
What I'm saying is you're mentioning all the things. You're mentioning all the things that LeBron has done. But I can point to a finals where he didn't play well. Like, and that cost his team.
Max,
had LeBron just stayed himself in the
Max.
Fourth quarter of that Dallas series, they win. But he didn't, and they lost. By the way,
Max,
I know I'm splitting hairs,
Max.
But we're comparing two of the greatest of all time. So hold on, Perk, hold on.
Max.
So this is what I'm saying. Brady's lost 3 out of 10 Super Bowls. 3 out of 10. 2 of them were by the skin of his teeth to Eli Manning, by the skin of his teeth. And one of them also by this, also by the skin of his teeth, where he threw 500 for 500 yards. He does not have any Dallas series on his resume. And when you're splitting hairs among the very greatest of all time, you have to start looking at stuff like that.
Yeah, and you also have to start looking at stuff like LeBron James was facing one of the greatest teams of all times with Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, and Klay Thompson. We also have to look into that. And
that.
Go pull up LeBron numbers when he – and yeah, you talk about Tom Brady throwing for 500 yards and a loss in the Super Bowl. Go look at LeBron James' finals numbers when he was going against Golden State, especially in that first
year. You notice I didn't bring those up.
Kevin Loving and – and when he lost Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love.
I agree.
So that counts on the resume, too. But
yeah,
all I'm telling you, Max, is that when – no, you said – no, to your point, you said that Tom Brady, he goes to – he proven that he could – he
okay,
left
I see what you're saying.
Patriots,
yeah.
Went to he went to the Bucks and he changed it and he won with a different team. I'm telling you, LeBron James has done the same thing. He's won with Cleveland, he's won with Miami, and he's won with the Lakers. The Lakers hadn't been to the playoffs in 7 to 8 years, almost a decade. He goes there towards the end of his prime and not only gets them to the playoffs,
with AD.
But delivers a title. It don't matter. It don't matter.
With AD,
it
and by the way, it was
matter.
In the absence, it was... All of a sudden, Golden State didn't have KD or Steph or Klay. The KD, Steph, and Klay Warriors with Draymond would have beaten LeBron and AD. But that's not really what I'm talking about.
What?
LeBron, twice in his career, entered postseason series, both times in Miami, with a team that should have won but lost. Or at least a team on equal footing with the other team and lost. And the difference between football and basketball is the best player in football, in basketball, has a greater sway over the outcome of the game than in football. So when they win, they get tons of credit, but when they lose, they also get tons of blame, even more than a quarterback in the NFL. LeBron's teams
Max.
That he was on in Miami, talent-wise, were right there with Dallas and right there with San Antonio, and they lost both times. So I'm not holding the
Max.
Golden State stuff against them. I agree with you there. I'm looking at Miami.
Okay, well, Max, I'm just going to leave it at this. At the end of the day, like I said at the start of this segment, that LeBron James and Tom Brady both have the same code to get in the same penthouse, period. Period. It ain't nothing else LeBron need to do
but
to who's catch up
but with
Tom
Jordan
Brady.
Sitting at the head of the table, who's facing him, Brady or LeBron?
They both eating ribeyes. So they all three eating ribeyes. So it don't even matter, Max. All I'm telling you is that he don't need to do nothing. He don't need to do anything to catch up with Brady.
I don't really eat steak.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I like a New York
strip. I'm just saying.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Meanwhile, last night, we witnessed LeBron continuing to play at a timeless level as it marked the 13th time he led his team outright in points, rebounds, and assists as the oldest player on his team to appear in the game. Big Perk still here with us. Max, did LeBron prove he is the MVP last night?
No. He proved he is the best player in the game. You cannot take that away from him until it's proven in the finals by another great player. But MVP, and by the way, I hate the MVP award. It shouldn't be a regular season award. You know how I stand on that, Molly. But if we're just talking the literal definition of the regular season MVP, it's Joel Embiid, who's, by the way, got his team in first place, and he ain't playing with AD, who recently beat the Nets and the Lakers and the Celtics twice, who is averaging, let me just throw out some stuff at you, Perk, because here is last bunch of games, okay? 42-10, 38-11, 33-14, 28-6, 37-11, 34-11, 37-5, 33-9. He's putting up the kind of numbers that Shaq has always said he needs to put up consistently in order to really fulfill his potential and be the dominant big guy. He's doing it now. You want to talk about, do I think Joel Embiid's better than LeBron? No. Do I think his team's going to win the finals? No. Do I think LeBron's the best player in the game? Yes. Do I like the way the MVP's set up? No. But if you're asking who so far is the regular season MVP, it is very clear, and that's Joel Embiid.
Well, Max, I'm not about to hoop and holler with you right now because I'm a fan of Joel Embiid, and I think he is having an MVP season. Those numbers that you told me that you just shot out there, those are dominant numbers. But if Molly asked the question and said, last night, did it prove that LeBron is the MVP? My answer is yes. Okay, yes. And here's why. A wise man told me it's not what you do, it's how you do it, okay? And when you look at the fashion that LeBron James is playing in, the effect that he has on the game, it's a beautiful thing to see in year 18 at the age of 36 years old. Here you go. Here you got a guy by the name of D-Wade who played with LeBron, won championships with him in Miami, saw a great LeBron James down there, and said, this is the best LeBron James that I've ever seen. And so when I watch the game, and I'm watching the Lakers play, I'm watching LeBron James go from being a small forward to a scorer when he's playing alongside Dennis Schroeder at the start of the game, to when Dennis Schroeder goes out the game, he goes back to being a point guard and a facilitator. He's passing the ball on time, on target. You watching guys like Wesley Matthews and Caldwell Pope not have to reach high or reach low. The ball is in their shooting pocket. You watching LeBron James dissect defense, read the defense better than he has ever done in his career. Right, getting to his spots, triple jabbing, jab step, going left, pulling up for his jumper. We're watching the best version. And by the way, offensively, I just told you what he's doing. Everything perfect on the offensive end, he's doing perfect. On the defensive end, guess what? At 36 years old, he's a better defender than your boy Kawhi Leonard right now because he's guarding people. He's guarding people. So when I look at it, he's not only giving us the offensive package and making others around him better while doing it. On the defensive end, we could argue and say he's the defensive player of the year. So I'm looking at it, the whole body of work, and watching what LeBron James is doing and his impact on the game. And when we thought that he, because of a short NBA offseason, it was going to be load management, and he's played every single damn game. Even the ones AD has missed, even the back-to-backs where we thought he was going to be resting. No, he hasn't rested in the last 2 weeks. By the way, he's ranked top 10 in minutes. So he's landed out there on the line every single night, and he's coming up with wins. He's got back-to-back triple-doubles. So right now, although Joel Embiid, you got Big Jokic playing well, it's a lot of guys that are playing exceptional basketball. But when I look at the overall body of work and the impact on the game, not just stats, because Bron is doing that also, but the total impact, I got to give it to LeBron James, Max.
Let's talk total impact. I'm not saying LeBron's not a miraculous player. He is. And you're right. He's been AD really challenging. He said on this show, he challenged him to play intense defense last year. And I think AD deserves some credit for being an influence there, because LeBron is playing defense more consistently than he did in Cleveland. It's more like the Miami days, but with a little more wisdom. So like, I get what you're saying. Defensive player of the year so far is Joel Embiid, actually. Like, I focused on Embiid's offense, which has been the best in the game this year so far, if you want to talk about the numbers he's put up. The defense, Embiid has been a – look, last year I was saying Ben Simmons was the best defender in the league until he got hurt. The best defender on the Sixers this year is Embiid. And he's doing it on the offensive end. And his team is in first place. Matter of fact, they don't know what to do with Embiid. You know who he was giving AD the business when they went head to head. He was abusing Anthony Davis. And in fact, it got, you know, LeBron took him out of the air, right? Like, when Embiid went down hard, LeBron and Gasol were like, what are we going to do with this guy? Nothing. They took him out of the air. He landed hard and wasn't the same after that. Until then, he was giving AD the business. And on the defensive end, Perk, you want to argue someone else is a defensive player of the year? You said you're not going to, like, hoot and holler about the Embiid. I'm not going to hoot and holler about it either. If you ask me my honest opinion right now as to who's played the best defense, any individual player, which player has most affected the defense of their team and the offense of the other team this year so far, I'm going to tell you Embiid.
Yeah, but Max, that's crazy for you to say, because you're a stats and analytics guy. And for you not to know the stats and analytics, that's beyond me right now, because that's what you rely on. Who's the number one defensive team in the league, Max? Can you tell me that?
No doubt. Yep, the Lakers are
who
top five offense
who
and defense.
Okay. I said, who is the number one defensive team in the league, Max?
All right, go
the
ahead.
Lakers.
And?
Right? Okay. Who is number one at guarding their opponent 101, Max? LeBron James.
Go ahead.
LeBron James. So I'm going to just leave it at that. I mean, we're not even about to talk about the defensive side of things, because Molly didn't ask about the defensive player of the year. I just threw that in there to show you the overall effect
said the MVP.
That LeBron James is
we said MVP,
the,
but
LeBron James is,
big,
but I'm telling you that he's giving it to you on both ends of the floor, Max Kellerman. That's what I'm telling you.
So is Embiid. Look, Seth Curry and Tobias Harris. You notice how Tobias Harris looks better on defense this year? Why do you think that is? It's because big Joel Embiid is right there, you
Doc
know, holding it down.
Doc Rivers.
Embiid
Doc
has
Rivers.
had a ripple effect on the defense of this team. You want to say Doc Rivers has gotten Embiid to play more consistent defense? Whatever. But he is doing it. I think of every player in the league, the guy who steps on the floor and affects the other team's offense the most is Joel Embiid. I also think he's been the best offensive player in the game so far. His team is also in first place, and he has a recent win against LeBron and the Lakers and against Durant and KD in the Nets. He's the MVP at this moment.
Max, here's the thing that I'm not knocking that Embiid is not in the MVP conversation. But Molly asked me a question, and I answered it, and I told you why. And I'm not going to sit up here and defer because you sitting up here telling me about MB and his impact or whatever. I'm telling you why I feel like LeBron James is the best player in the world and is the MVP of the league. And if you watch it with your eye test, it's a different impact. Yes, MB is going down there and give you 30-plus points. But when I look at the overall impact, when I watch a guy like Wes Matthews, and credit to, and I'm not taking anything from Wes Matthews. Watching the game I believe that Wes Matthews had about 4 DMPs before last night. But credit to him for staying ready so he didn't have to get ready. His number was called. And so he had a monster game last night on the defensive end and the offensive end. But guess what? We didn't have to see Wesley Matthews dribbling up the court and making plays. The game came to him so easy because he's on the floor with LeBron James, and LeBron James was hitting him with pinpoint passes where all he had to do was just knock down shots, and he did just that. That's what I'm talking about, the impact.
I'm not arguing against LeBron. I acknowledge the impact, but I'll give you another one for Embiid, okay? In the way the Sixers are constructed, when Embiid's not on the floor, they can't do anything. Not only do I think he's been the most valuable offensive and defensive player this year, not only is his team in first place and he beat LeBron's team head-to-head and KD's head-to-head recently, but when he's not on the floor, they can't function because Dwight Howard and Ben Simmons both need the paint to score.
All right.
So, in terms of value to his team, it's even more.
Molly, real quick, I just witnessed about a week and a half ago the Philadelphia 76ers get a hell of a win on the road against a tough Pacers team without MB. I'm going to just leave it at that, okay?
Okay, fair enough. And I'm going to leave you with this note. At 36, if LeBron wins MVP, he will pass Karl Malone back in 99 as the oldest player ever to win MVP. All I know is Brady, LeBron, all these people doing these things at an advanced age, crushing. It's really giving me life. It's making me feel better about myself, too. So thanks for the inspiration, guys.
Molly, you act like you're not in your prime. Why don't you relax? Let the old people worry about being old.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
So, after a rocky season with the team, sources say the Philadelphia Eagles are expected to trade Carson Wentz in the coming days. A $10 million roster bonus is due to Wentz on March 19th. On that note, we bring in our guy, Super Bowl champion Jeff Saturday. Good morning, good afternoon, all those good things to you, Jeff. I will get to you in just a second, but first I'm going to start with your boy Max here. Max, which team will give Carson Wentz, I know how fondly you are and speak of Carson Wentz, the best chance to rebound here?
Ready for this? I actually think it would be the Patriots. And I know they lack offensive weapons, and I don't think they're going to trade for them. But I think what Carson Wentz needs is an attitude realignment first. As much as he's professed, and all the reporting coming out of Philadelphia is the same about this, as much as he's professed that to want to get better and to want to be a better leader. And as he's said to have a high football IQ and all those things. Like, everyone says that about him. He's super tough. I mean, you can see how tough a guy he is. He's tried to play through injuries that where he shouldn't have even been on the field. All those things are true. And yet, he has, at times, I believe the real issue is failed to look in the mirror and really be accountable. And I think he's gotten so much praise from the media and has felt so protected in his situation that he had that, you know, like they'd win, he'd play poorly. He was, oh my God, what a heroic performance. And so maybe he wasn't really taking accountability in the way he should have. I think he needs to go to a place where there's such gravitas on the coaching staff, right? Where the reputation of the place is enough to for him to humble himself in that way. Because Carson Wentz, not all that long ago, a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, was an excellent quarterback. But as you know, I don't think he's been an excellent quarterback for quite some time. And I don't think that his benching this year came out of the blue. It's not like suddenly he was so great last year. And then what happened this year? I was saying all through the second half of last year, he's in fact not playing well. He's in fact costing his team. And so I think if he were to go to Belichick, he would at least be part of an organization where if the coaching staff needed him to do something, he would go out there and do it. And I think that's the most important thing for Wentz right now. In spite of the lack of offensive weapons, I think it would be the Patriots, actually.
Yeah, listen, when you think about Carson Wentz, I would say this about the disagreement we start right here is, so Carson Wentz has had a difficult last probably couple years. But at the end of last year, you really saw him help lead his team into the playoffs, right? Like when everybody was injured, he kind of stepped up and people talked about him carrying the team on his back and getting them into the playoffs and finding a way, Max, what you kind of call in heroics. But when you talk about a team that would be the best fit, the Patriots and the Patriot way and what they have is, that's not going to benefit him. He needs a team like the Indianapolis Colts. And I'll tell you why. The nucleus of the team is built inside out, which Chris Ballard has done a fantastic job. He has good, but not great, outside help and young players who could potentially help him. The most important part is he has a fantastic offensive line that's young, minus Costanzo, who just retired, so they'll have to replace a left tackle. But we know Ballard's not afraid to put money or resources in the offensive line. And he has a young running back in Taylor who is ascending and really showed what he can be now with guys who, you know, Mac being injured, coming back. Potentially, you have a few different options that will help you and help your game. I think he's athletic, which lends itself to moving the pocket, which we know Frank Reich is not afraid to do. Move the pocket, trap pass, 2 tight end sets, 3 tight end sets, right? Cram things in. If you need to spread it out, he can do all the – so the plethora of options – are there. I think the seamless transition becomes because when he is protected, he is a different quarterback. And I would liken this, and obviously people are going to hear this, and you look at what happened to Patrick Mahomes when he was pressured the way he was pressured in the Super Bowl. I played with a Hall of Fame quarterback in Peyton Manning. I played with Aaron Rodgers. I've watched Tom Brady his entire career. When players are pressured and quarterbacks are on the run for their life, they are not the same guy. So unless you can tell me that New England's offensive line is going to improve in just pure pass blocking ability, I would tell him, if I'm his agent, go find that group of guys who are going to afford you the most protection, give you a good, if not great, run game, and then just be part of an offense. Don't go somewhere where you got to be the dude. Like, we don't want that because we don't really know if you
well,
have
I hear
that.
But Jeff,
let's make sure you can build in there.
Jeff, I appreciate the point about the Colts because the Colts got the best guard and they spent a very high draft pick on him, the best interior lineman, I think, in the game, and a guy who's just a difference maker, no question. They built that team right, and now they need to find their quarterback. I'm saying I don't think Carson Wentz is ready to be that quarterback. You bring up Mahomes and how he was pressured. Yeah, Mahomes, I thought, was spectacular. I thought he was spectacular in the Super Bowl. He was on the run for his life, pressured more than anyone ever, but with a lower blitz rate than anyone ever, right, on dropbacks. So no, yeah. He's always running for his life. No one's ever open. He threw three touchdown passes in the end zone. Hit two guys in the face and one in the hands. Like, he was unbelievable. That's not what Carson Wentz did a couple of years ago. What Carson Wentz did even last year, Jeff, at the end of that season when everyone was lauding him for bringing his team to victory. In fact, he got healthy against an extremely weak NFC East. And even then, he was turning the ball over on third down in the fourth quarter. They were lucky to recover. He was beating these backup quarterbacks in the NFC East. But, Jeff, everyone in the NFC East was beating those same quarterbacks right around that time, worse than Wentz was beating them. I really did not think he played well. I was sounding the alarm on first take all the second half of last year. I see this as a continuation. Jeff, the reason I bring all that up is because what I'm saying about Carson Wentz is, of course you're right if he's protected. He's better throwing on the run, although he doesn't move the way he used to, but maybe he could. But my point about Wentz is more than anything, it's upstairs. It's a humility issue. It's an adjustment issue. It's an issue of really taking accountability for his play and for leadership, not just in word, but in deed. So when I look for the right fit, to me, it's not about the X's and O's and about the pieces on the field. It's about the coaching staff and a place where Wentz could really get that part fixed or that part worked on. That's why I said the Patriots. Any other team that you would bring up, I'd want to know about the coaching staff and Wentz's attitude toward that.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you on the coaching staff portion, but I think it's the opposite. I don't think you need a leader at quarterback if you go to the Patriots, right? McDaniels has a very strong personality. So does Bill. You know, both those guys, they have a certain way they want to go do it. They'll allow you to be you to a certain degree, but ultimately they're going to be the guys who carry the water in that locker room. And so from Wentz's perspective, there's not going to be any leadership required. So from the actual learning the leadership part, from the X's and O's, I think Frank Reich is probably the one. If he's not the best, he's one of the top three play callers, and they have the ability to complete it. Like, why did Tom want to leave New England? Partly because of what was on the outside. Like, you're asking him to go back in, and it's not just going to be the mental part. I understand what you're saying about the mental part, but there also have to be guys around that can make you better than you are. And that's every position in the league, Max. Like, the guys you play with matter. So you're going to go to a group where now you have to be that guy no matter who's on the outside. I think that's a tall order to get. And it's not like the Patriots have produced tons of receivers over the past 20 years. Tom Brady has created those guys, but man, now you're asking him to create those receivers. I think that's a tall order to ask right there.
All right, we'll leave it there. In the last two seasons, Carson Wentz ranks 33rd in off-target percentage. Let's go to Tom Brady now. He has three road wins, fellas. Yeah, it's that bad, Jeff. Threw 10 touchdown passes and won a Super Bowl in one postseason in Tampa during a pandemic, mind you. And oh, by the way, beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes along the way. Max, was this the best playoff run by a quarterback ever?
No, it's clearly not, but it's way up there. But there were there were two runs better than this one, clearly. And both times, the guy beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And that's from Eli Manning. Guys like Jeff Saturday looked at this Bucs team and said, that team's going to go to the Super Bowl. I love this team. Both sides of the ball before the season started. No one was saying that about those Giants teams, right? Then Tom Brady has every weapon you want, and he's playing in the Super Bowl ultimately against a line that's been decimated by injury. I never thought the Chiefs should have been favored. I liked them to win because I thought Mahomes would work miracles in a comeback again. But you know, not because of the shape that the Chiefs were in. Think about Eli Manning's runs, Jeff. The first time, he faces a 9-7 Bucs team with Jeff Garcia, a real NFL quarterback on a 9-7 team, beats him on the road. Goes to Dallas, beats Tony Romo in his prime on a 13-3 team on the road. This isn't Heineke and a 7-9 team. This isn't the end of Drew Brees. This is Romo in his prime on a 13-win team. He then goes to Lambeau and beats Brett Favre on the road. And then Tom Brady in his greatest season with Randy Moss, 50 touchdowns, with Randy Moss, undefeated, about to be crowned the greatest team in sports history, better than any Yankees team, better than the Jordan Bulls, and Eli beats that team and wins MVP. And then, Jeff, he did it again in 2011. The same thing. He beat Alex Smith on a 49ers team that was a devastating defensive team, 13-win team. He beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau, 15-1 that year, and then beat Brady again in the Super Bowl. Both runs by Eli were more on an inferior team compared to this Bucs team. Didn't get to host the Super Bowl. Beat Brady twice, who's the GOAT, right, in his prime. Those are the two best Super Bowl runs ever. Then this run by Brady.
I like how you tried to sugar me in with this, Max. You tried to bring a Manning in. Not my Manning, but you brought a Manning in, which I appreciate. You know what I mean? I give you some points. I like the style. You know what I mean? But I can't. I'm gonna stick with Brady right here now, and which is hard for me to do. You know this is difficult for me to do, but I will say, and the reason I said this is because the way that historians, guys like yourself, will frame this is he went on the road. He beat, to your point, he beat a poor quarterback but a very good front seven in Washington in the playoffs. Then he goes and beats Breeze, the team that had beat them twice during the season, beats them at home against another exceptionally good defense in the New Orleans Saints. Then he goes to the MVP, goes to the MVP's house and beats Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay in Green Bay, and then caps it off with the baby goat. That's your name, not mine. You know, I don't do the baby goat nonsense, but the guys that everybody's already crowning to be the next goat, and that's what you call them, and he beats them, I mean, handily. And so when we start passing out these things, it seems like they always frame it in quarterback language. So I'm giving it to you in your language. Okay. How I look at the games is completely different. I think Todd Bowles, MVP, held Mahomes to 9 points. That's pretty spectacular. Every one of Brady's championships has been a top 10 defensive football team. This is no different. But I don't look at it any different. I think Eli had some really good teams. They got hot. It looked good. We give all the credit to quarterbacks. So when you go on the road and beat Breeze, you beat Brady, you beat Mahomes and Rodgers, all two NFL MVPs, and that run, that's pretty spectacular.
But let's look at it. Let's look at it. First of all, the Bucs were firing on all cylinders. They had an elite offensive line this year, top five in the league. They had an elite defense, and they were facing a line with three starters missing, including both tackles. Okay, so Todd Bowles is a genius. He didn't bring the pressure. They blitzed under 10% of the time. They got pressure on dropbacks over 50% of the time. Why would he send anyone? What that means is you're always on the run for your life, and also no one's ever open, right? But Tom Brady threw this plus extraordinary. You're right. But let's really match it up. You know, Eli beat a 10-win Matt Ryan team on one of the runs, followed by a 13-win defensive juggernaut in San Francisco with Alex Smith as the quarterback, followed by Aaron Rodgers, who was 15-1, not 13-3 this year.
I know, Max.
15-1, followed by Tom Brady himself. Guys, that was that was the second run.
You put
Alex Smith.
You put Romo, Alex Smith, you put all these guys in the same category. You just said, let's say the names,
okay,
Matt.
Okay, let's do it. Hold on.
Breeze,
let's do
it. Rodgers.
Let's do 07.
Okay,
let's do 07.
No. But just say the names.
No,
just wait.
Go,
just humor
let
me
Jeff
here.
Let Jeff go.
Rodgers,
Mahomes. I mean, like Romo.
Okay. This
Alex
is where
Smith, I don't care what the team is. I don't care what. Let's lay it out.
That's two different years.
We can't put those guys in the same category.
Don't get it twisted. This is two different years we're talking about because Eli did it twice better than Brady just
right.
did it. One at a time. Jeff Garcia over Heinicke. We both agree. If you're looking, see, in the boxing world, Jeff, I know all about this. People try to get you shiny names on your resume. You got to know when they fought. So the bottom line is Romo for the 13-3 Cowboys was a better quarterback that year than Breeze for this Saints team. I think everyone would agree. That Romo was better than this Breeze. And then that Favre at Lambeau was a stud on an excellent team. And then what caps it all off, Jeff, what really outweighs it, Mahomes is great. His line wasn't there. Like, he had no offensive line. Brady was on the greatest team of all time. It was in his prime, having his greatest season that Eli beat. But that's just one of the runs. The other run is with Alex Smith on that Niners team. It was an excellent team. Matt Ryan on a 10-win Falcons team. Aaron Rodgers on a better team than he was on this year, 15 wins, and then Brady again. Who's the GOAT, right? Isn't Brady the GOAT? Not the baby GOAT, but the GOAT. And he was in his prime back then, Jeff.
Well, I mean, it all depends on how you're framing it. But I'm just telling you the way that his story, when you talk about the three that he goes on the road to beat and the way that he beat them, you can say whatever you want about Breeze. People were expecting them to win that game, right? I'm not sure Tampa was favored in any of those games. I'm not sure. I know they weren't favored against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I wouldn't think they would have been favored against the Saints after losing twice. But for them to come back and show what they did and play the way they played,
Jeff,
you got to give them a ton of credit. And listen, part of the game comes into, can you elevate the guys around you? When they took it to Kansas City, I mean, you've heard guys say, he looked at Fournette and said, listen, this team doesn't want to tackle. Go run nasty. Go play physical and watch us win this game. It's those type of things to get his team on the run. He took a 7-9 team and made him a Super Bowl champion.
Jeff,
I agree. I did say they were going to do that, and I picked him.
He beat some really
good QBs.
Eli's team only had 9 wins. Hold on a second. Two things. One, you want to check the odds for the Patriots-Giants Super Bowl when Brady was undefeated with 50 touchdowns that year? Because that's who Eli beat. One of the most famous plays in football history was the pass to Tyree. But the pass to Manningham, the second time he beat Brady, was even a better play. And let me just say this. You said he went on the road to beat those three teams. Heinicke and the 7-9 Washington team, give me a break. I mean, they had a good defense, but they're in the playoffs. Give me a break. He was not at home on the road at the Super Bowl. Brady had a home game in the Super Bowl. He had a home game against the Chiefs team that should have been underdogs given the condition of their offensive line. They should have been Jeff.
Max, you're in a beautiful mind.
Look, they missed. They didn't have either tackle.
Listen, I said it. It was all you guys who said that Mahomes is going to be a hero and can overcome all odds and drop back 15 yards and do all these things. I clearly told you
the
game is won in the trenches. Every time, I don't care what it looks like, all the shiny guys on the outside, it takes those front five, the big uglies matter. That's what wins games. It's you guys who keep trying to tell me and persuade me about quarterbacks. I'm just helping you out, Max.
Once upon a time, there was a goat, a baby goat, a honey badger, and a delusional television host with the initials MK. Bye, everyone.